Genesis chapter 19. Let us read first 7 verses. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. This is the first part of this chapter that I wanted us to read this morning, and let us now turn to the Lord in prayer and seek His guidance. Heavenly Father, this appeared to be one of the awful moments in the history of the mankind. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, when we look into this situation, this awful depravity of the mankind, when we see, O Heavenly Father, what terrible things took place in our past, we wonder, Lord, what are the limits of thy patience? For what reason, O Heavenly Father, wouldst thou send thy dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to this earth to redeem the fallen mankind? Why not allow all of us to go to everlasting perdition, to our destruction? Why thou didst not allow us to face the just and awful judgment of thy divine justice, O God? We wonder, O Heavenly Father, about the depth of thy mercy and thy loving kindnesses that cannot be numbered, and thy humiliation, thy long suffering, O Lord God. And then we wonder about us, unworthy of thy goodness and mercy, unable to do anything good, and yet skillful to do evil, groping in darkness, offending thy word every step of the way. O Lord, and then when we cried for mercy, we see the open arms of the Savior, the arms bruised, scourged, beaten, pierced, crucified, despised and rejected, still open wide in an embrace of love beyond measure and mercy that cannot be compared. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou enlarge our hearts and fill our hearts with gratitude and praise and adoration of Thy holy name, O Lord. Give us grace and power to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and to rejoice in Thy salvation, O Lord. All we pray, make us worthy of Thy calling, not to gain any honor or recognition in this world, but to proclaim Thy holy word, to be similar to John the Baptist, who said, I am only a voice, but the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. O Lord God Almighty, we pray that not only our words, but our words also, but also our whole manner and behavior, our desires, intentions, our strivings, O Father, and Thy gracious achievements, in spite of our weaknesses, that all be used for Thy name's honor and glory. Lord God Almighty, help us every day of the way, every step of the way, Lord, we pray, that we would not retire any evening before we count the blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. Help us, O Heavenly Father, that we look into Thy goodness and mercy, and that we count the blessings, and that we multiply the praise. Grant us grace and power, O Lord, to walk as Thy redeemed ones. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, this is a sad time. Only rarely, someone will seek Thy word. And among the few that will ask, only very few will receive Thy answer. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, bless Thy holy word and multiply the gospel message. Enlighten the minds darkened by the darkness of the world, and touch and heal the hearts sick with sin. Deliver the souls shackled in that awful slavery. O Heavenly Father, have also mercy upon us that bear the name of Thine and the holy vessels, O Lord. Very often, having our shackles broken, try to carry them on, and we don't want to separate from them. And seeing that Thou hast delivered us from Sodom, Lord God Almighty, we carry on Sodom in our thoughts, in our desires. Oh, have mercy upon us, Lord, and deliver us from our own self, and make us true followers of the Savior. Make us faithful and sincere disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, help us, O Lord, not to be unfinished, undone. Help us not to have divided heart, not to be cowards, discouraged, defeated, but rather comforted. With Thy peace in our hearts, O Lord, with the joy of Thy salvation in our daily walk, with the praise and adoration of Thy holy name upon our lips, with a song in our heart, the song of the Lamb of God, the mighty Savior of the mankind. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou bless this word today and fill our hearts with that clear understanding, with the full awareness of Thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the prayers of our father Abraham, for his plea for his nephew Lot. O Lord, we pray that Thou make us and keep us prayerful. There are many Lots today. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Satan is raging, but Thou art mighty deliverer. Exalt Thy name most high. Glorify Thy Son. Manifest the power of Thy salvation, Lord. Oh, grant that mighty weapon against the enemy. New life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the glory and honor of Thy holy name. Amen. Now, before we go into this chapter, I would have to share something with you and just get it out of my mind, hopefully. So after that, I can follow the pattern and the sequence of events in this chapter 19. Have you ever heard, or did you not hear often, the statement or the idea, we need more godly and Christian people in the government so that the whole country would be led in the way of godliness? I heard that so many times. And you know what I think? The people that say that have no idea what godly person is. They don't even know what godliness is. They only know what their form of sinfulness is, and that's what they consider godliness. But having said that, I can turn back to this chapter 19. Lot was one of those, I think. One of those that believed, if I manage to get into the government, something will turn for better. If losing his wife is better, if losing his daughter is better, if losing his own perspective and direction in life is better, yes, then it's better to have godly people among the ungodly and let the godly people be overwhelmed by the ungodly and led away with them. Be not unequally yoked with the sinners, with the unbelievers. The change of a nation starts from the heart, not from the government. Well, yes, a sinful government can influence the people to be sinful. A righteous government will influence the people to be righteous. Can you believe in a system of democracy, so-called, that the ungodly people will elect godly government? That's really something. Imagine all the fallen angels electing the Lord Jesus Christ to be their president. Incredible. Foolishness. Well, here we are, somewhere there, far away. Our father Abraham is left behind after his plea to the Lord. Lord, wilt thou allow, if there be 10 righteous people in Sodom, they to perish with the unrighteous? Same judgment? The judge of the whole earth? And the Lord answered, if there be 10 righteous, I will spare the city. Now that would be an interesting thing to see the other three big cities destroyed and Sodom left. To me it looks like Sodom was the worst one. And why Lot did not choose one of the other four cities like Gomorrah or Adma or Seboim or Zoar? When the angel sent him out of Sodom, he said, let me flee to Zoar, it's a better place, it's a small place, there is not as much sin as in a big place. I don't know if the percentage was any better. But did Lot know that Zoar is a better place before? Why did he wait so long? The angels came to Sodom at even. The day is coming to its end. Lot is sitting in the gate of Sodom. Lot is a representative of some kind. He is a counselor. He's up there in the peaks of the society of Sodom. And Lot, seeing two strangers, two visitors, he rose up to meet them and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. See how reverential he is? Do you see quite a resemblance in Lot's manners and Abraham's manners? Abraham did the same. Do you see that similarity? Abraham offered hospitality, Lot offered hospitality. And Lot said, behold now my lords, very reverential person, very fine manners. And he says, behold now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, no. Don't bother, Lot. We will spend the time, the night in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Lot did not have a fatted calf. Isn't that interesting? Cities don't have as much as the households living outside. And it was a time of fellowship, I would think. It was a time of Lot's hospitality, and the visitors were offered all the comfort that Lot could offer at that time. And before they lay down, before the time of sleep and rest, the men of Sodom are far from sleeping and resting. They have something else in their desires, in their intentions. They compass the house round, both old and young. All the people from every part of the city. That's amazing. Do you see how united this city of Sodom was? They had one heart and one mind. That was really something. They did not even have any, apparently, racial or social problems or generation gap. They are all united. Was this a moment of satanic triumph? That dark night, the last night of Sodom. They were not aware of that. Here they are around Lot's house, and they are calling. They want to have these visitors to abuse them, to humiliate them, to exercise their sinful, perverted lusts and evil, ugly desires. And Lot is going out. He has to face this mob. A great number of people shouting. He went out and he closed the door after him. He's cautious. Do you see this? Lot is a righteous man. He's a godly man. He's risking his own life to protect his visitors. Hospitality is a virtue of godly people, and Lot took that very seriously. Why didn't he take all the other things seriously? You see, the true righteousness is not an impulse only. It's an endurance also. Day by day live righteously and godly. Daily fight against sin and evil. Daily plead with the Lord and seek His grace and mercy. And be armed, because the onslaught of the enemy is not relaxing. And so Lot is going to meet the people, and he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." How dare he say that? It's natural for them. They were born like that. They cannot do anything. It's not that in their genes. And who is Lot to tell them that what is wickedly, what is righteous? And after all they know, all they want to do is to have fun. To enjoy life. Could be that some of them believe that that's their fulfillment. How ugly Satan can be when he reveals himself in the intentions of his victims. Awful. And then Lot is saying something that hardly anyone today can understand at the first glance. "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Did Lot mean this? I don't think so. He did not intend to do that. He offered something expecting some compassion, some understanding, or at least some easing of the evil intention of these people. Why do I think so? Well, if we turn to the book of Judges, I don't remember which chapter is that, but you remember that chapter when a Levite was traveling with his concubine and they passed by Jebus, and his servant said, the day is ending, it's getting dark, let's stop in this city of the Gentiles and spend the night here. And the Levite said, "No, we will not go to a city of the uncircumcised. Let's proceed on and we will reach Gibeah of Benjamin. That's a city of Israel, our people, our nation, and we will spend the night there." And so they did, and when they arrived to Gibeah, that's where they got attacked by Sodomites. City of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, the most beloved brother of Joseph, the deliverer of his people, his family. And what happened at that night, when the people attacked the house of Levite's host, the host said, I have a daughter, a virgin, and this Levite's concubine, I will give them to you. We will sacrifice them, just don't touch the man, the Levite. And the man did not give his daughter, but the Levite did sacrifice his concubine. So when the people say that, it's an offer of despair. An offer that hopefully will not be accepted, but hopefully will touch the heart of the wicked so that they would at least reduce their wickedness. But compromising, negotiating with Satan never paid. It never paid. Not even arguing with him will ever pay. There is no benefit in that. There is only one thing. Resist the devil. Condemn the evil. So, what did the Sodomites answer to Lot in the last night of their life? They said, stand back. What would be similar to this expression today? Get out of here. And they said again, this one came to sojourn here, and he wants to be a judge to us? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Lot was helpless. It's a mob. Wild people. But the man, which man? The visitors. The two angels. They stretched forth their hands. They pulled Lot in, into the house, and they shut the door. There was a flash. Something happened. All the Sodomites around the house were blinded instantly. Both small and great, the leaders and the followers. And they wearied themselves to find the door. First, they were blinded by Satan, so they could not see what is right, what is wrong. Now, they are blinded by the Lord, so that they cannot perform their evil intentions. What is next? I wonder if these people will ever see the light of the day. Did they die blind? Or what happened? They surely died, we know that much. And the man said unto Lot, hast thou anyone here besides? Son-in-law? Sons? Daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, everything has to go out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. You see why the angels delivered Lot from the mob? To deliver him from the sinful place. Did Lot realize that these two people are not ordinary people, they are angels of God? Did he think that they are prophets of some kind? What was his idea or his understanding? They sent him out and spake. Lot went out and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Someone telling a joke. somehow the word of God, the voice of the Spirit of God through the lips of Lot did not sound serious. Or perhaps these two men, I would think young men, were absolutely not used to hearing the word of God. How did they become the sons-in-law to Lot? Not having opportunity to get used to the word of God. Or perhaps it always sounded to them as something not really serious. Well, Lot was that kind of a righteous man that whose manner and behavior would not convince anyone that he really seriously believes what he says he believes. That's my impression. So Lot returned back. His sons-in-law think that, wow, that's quite a joke. You say God will destroy Sodom? Well, that's a big city. Yes, it's a big city, but just recently it got invaded. It was not that long. It was invaded by another kingdom, actually 5 kingdoms together. And the people were captured, and everything that they had, they lost. Did they think it was a joke at that time? You see, these are the natural people, the natural men, the sinful people, sinful men. I would think that they are not the worst ones. Apparently they were not blind when Lot talked to them. So hopefully they were not among the people that gathered around Lot's house. So I would think that there were some people that were less sinful in the city of Sodom. Lot's wife, she was inside. She was in the household. She was not outside attacking Lot and Lot's house and Lot's visitors. So there were some people that were not as much involved in sinful, violent, sinful living as the rest of the Sodomites. But Lot's words did not sound serious to them enough. Well, let me say something more, something much worse. The words of the angels did not sound serious enough to Lot. That's the problem. So he came back, and the night is coming to its end, the night is fading away, and the morning will pretty soon be here. The angels hastened Lot, saying, "Rise, take thy wife and thy 2 daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." You see what is turning away from the world, seeking one's salvation? Forsaking everything and taking everything that you can take and flee from sin. Obey the word of God. But he lingered. He didn't know what to do. He hesitated. He cannot take everything that he wants to take. You see, Lot's problem was what the people like to call today priorities. Well, even more than that, Lot loved temporary things and did not care for everlasting values. He lingered, he hesitated, he delayed, he procrastinated, and the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his 2 daughters why? You see, they are actually forced to go out of sin, out of Sodom. They are compelled. Why is the Lord enforcing that upon them? Because He is merciful to them. The Lord being merciful unto him. And the angels brought him forth and set him without the city. No one attacked them. All the attackers still blind, I think. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that the Lord said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. You have there is no safety in looking behind and running forward. Those that look backwards and pretend to be running forward will probably fall down. Look not behind thee, forsake the past, and reach toward that goal that the Lord has given you. Neither stay, do not hesitate, do not waste your time. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. To the mountain. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. How thankful he is. Actually, he is thankless. O God, we praise thee for all thy goodness and mercy, but we don't really believe in it. That's the religion. That's the godliness that Lot had. Very popular nowadays. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me by saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain. See what he is saying? Lord, thy mercy and thy goodness is so great, but Lord, thou hast made a mistake right now. Thou art sending me to the mountain, and that's impossible. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me. Which evil? The evil is upon Sodom. Get away. But Lot is not seeing through the eyes of the Lord. He refuses to be guided by the eye of the Lord. He refuses to see the way the Lord is seeing the things. Some evil will take me and I will die. Sodom is not that dangerous, but going in the direction where the Lord is sending him, that's very dangerous. How foolish. Behold now, Lot is saying, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. The nearest to Sodom, the more dangerous. And Lot says, oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. You see, this big church has a few thousand in it, and it's a very sinful church, very worldly church. But this little one, it's like a family. Everybody knows one another and so on. You know. Are they not worldly? Well, not as much as the big church. So what is godliness? Less worldly or not worldly? Or what is the word of God? Less teaching of Satan? Less pollution? Less filth of the flesh? Is that godliness? Is that the gospel? Well, apparently Lot had some strong opinion about that. And the Lord answered, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. So we want to be careful when we see a church that is less worldly, a church that is not that much in sin like the others. Let's not overthrow it too soon and too quickly. Maybe there is a lot there. Maybe the Lord has given them more time. But let's not spare them either. If we have an opportunity, if there is any open ear, speak the word of God and point out the sin, but be sure to show a good example of true godliness. Words alone will not produce anything. And the angel said, haste thee, escape thither. You want to go to that little church? You want to go to that small city? Hurry up anyway. Rush. For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. God cannot do anything. See, he, the Lord, limited himself by his own word. He limited his ability to do something in order to manifest his patience, his loving kindness, his deliverance. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. I did not search out, but I would think that Zoar would mean the little one. In any case, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Who died? Oh, it's easier to say, who survived? Nobody. None escaped. But this is only the sign of God's judgment. The real judgment is not yet, it's coming. But this is a sign of God's displeasure, an indication that God will judge every sin. And every sin is condemned in the sight of God. And yet, how can anyone be delivered? God having mercy upon him. And the Lord Jesus said, if anyone, any Lot or any Sodomite, or any wife of Lot, or his daughter, or his son-in-law, or anyone come unto me, I will not cast him out. But let that not be an encouragement to despise the Lord's mercy nor the Lord's judgment. The Lord did overthrow the cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground, those green fields around the cities that Lot was so attracted to, beautiful pastures. Everything was destroyed. Fountains of water, springs, the river, the whole plain. Now look at this. Verse 22. The Lord says, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Look at verse 26. Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Who did that? Did Satan do that? Or did the Lord? Who did turn Lot's wife into a pillar of salt? The Lord's mercy, the time of grace, the day of salvation is today. But today is also the day of judgment. And we have nothing to encourage us, nothing to relax us, nothing to tell us, oh God is so gracious, so merciful, you need not obey him. It's an awful predicament of every Mrs. Lot. So what shall we say? Lot's wife was not burnt in fire, she only turned into a pillar of salt. Is that a result or an outcome that any of us would envy, desire? Why did she turn back? The Lord plainly said, do not turn back. You know, perhaps that can tell us why Lot was so hesitant to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Perhaps he was afraid of leaving his wife there. Could be. Or perhaps it's the other way around, because Lot was so hesitant, his wife did not believe that the Lord will fulfill his word. And she wanted to be sure that they don't go too far if Sodom is not burning yet. Well, the Lord did not give her another and another and another chance, another opportunity. That was it. We don't know, when we look back, when we are hesitant, is that it? Or can we do it again and again? Everything is burning, and the only thing that will be left of Sodom is a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld and looked. Fire station, Elfin Forest there. We were watching this area in flames and in smoke. What an interesting feeling that is. Everything burning. Well, it's even more interesting feeling when we came back and everything is burned down, only this building is standing in some kind of a sea of ashes and smoke. The Lord can do miracles even when he did not promise. But when he promised something, he surely will keep his word. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Oh, now we find another clue. Lot did not live only in Sodom. He lived in Gomorrah, he lived in Adma and Zeboim. Market, business. Excellent perspective of multiplying his income, his wealth. I wonder how much he took away when he left Sodom and Gomorrah. Apparently nothing. He would have lost himself also, if the angels did not get hold of his arm. And Lot went up out of Zoar. Oh, what happened to the little church? It was not as sinful as the others. It's a small place. Finally he dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. Why did he fear? Same thing that was in the big church is in the little church. Disobedience to the word of God. And disobedience to the word of God always leads to violence. If we don't believe the truth, we will be liars. If we have no mercy, we become cruel. That's the predicament of the mankind. So he went to the mountain, only not high enough. He found a comfortable cave that he arranged for a comfortable dwelling. And there he lived with his two daughters. Way too late. By this time his daughters learned the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. Zoar was a younger sister of Sodom, a smaller child of the same family. What they learned in Sodom, they observed in Zoar. And now, Lot see, it's an awful place. It's a terrible place. It's a sinful place. There is no room for a godly person. So he went out and he lived in the mountain. He lived in the cave. But even though he went out of Zoar, Zoar did not go out of the heart and mind of his daughters. They took it with them. Just as the children of Israel, they were led by the Lord out of the land of Egypt, out of the slavery, but they continued being slaves, and they kept the land of Egypt in their hearts. And when the leaders, the elders of the people, said to Aaron, "What happened to Moses? We need somebody. We need a God that will walk before us." What did Aaron say? "Oh, let's make a calf. We'll make a God." Where did that come from? Egypt. Egypt that was in their hearts and their minds. The Lord delivered them, but they refused to be delivered. They live in their habits, their thinking. Their sinful heart continued being an Egyptian slave. And so here, Lot is finally outside, but too late. His daughters are bringing Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar with them. And so Lot became, oh, some people say involuntary father. I think he became a drunkard. Voluntary or not, I think he was very negligent. Could he not see what happened the first night after that night? Why did he allow that to happen the second night? Perhaps that gives us some better understanding why he answered in the verse 19 what he answered to the angels. "I cannot escape to the mountain. Some evil will take me." He sees evil in the Lord's deliverance, and he sees deliverance in the evil from which the Lord could deliver him. And two nations were born. Godless nations. Ugly nations. Nasty nations. The continuous enemies of the children of Israel, the children of Abraham, the promised seed. Moabites and Ammonites. Moabites were so subtle, they knew tricks and deception, how to entice into sin the children of Israel. Ammonites were so cruel, they were waiting for the most difficult and most threatening moment in the Israel's history, and then they would jump to their opportunity to destroy the people, their brothers, their cousins. And so, finally the Lord manifested his judgment on both the nations of Lot. Moabites and Ammonites were destroyed and wiped out of the human history. What remains? Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, the opposite, away from the place of destruction, and following the guidance of the Lord. But that is chapter 20.